Blog Talk Radio.
And hello, everyone. Hello, good evening. I'm Kay Thompson, and this is Kay Thompson Live, and sitting across from me is none other than Eric Payne, my son. How are you?
That's me, guilty. You're going to hear a beep in a minute, people. Oh, no, you didn't hear it. Okay, I'll try to turn my cell phone down, because it's good to be here. Now, I'm looking at stuff in front of me, so I was getting ready to read that. Uh-huh. That was just a reflex on the computer here. But obviously, that's not.
Is that for you?
Is that for me right there, Shauna, to read out loud?
Casual.
You want me to read this whole thing? You want me to improvise about the CD that people can show on our webcam? What, today's show is sponsored by the Moves Sounds, inspired by Mumia
Abu-Jamal.
Right. Once you get the CD at bwmovingimages.com. You can also donate to GoPro Radio at GoProRadio.com directly on site and click the donate button to support the fastest growing network in the galaxy. In the galaxy. Here's the CD right here. And can you see that? Okay. So, we're here doing the Kay Thompson Live show again.
You forgot.
I was looking up to see your picture, but I see Byron's from the other show. So, Kay Thompson Live, and a lot of stuff in the news going on.
Yeah, a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we were waiting we're supposed to be talking to Ambassador Lionel Hirsch from Antigua. There's some things going on in Antigua. Of course, you know, tourism. I want to find out if the situation at the airlines, at the airports rather, with the planes, with laying off of different traffic controls, if that has affected the different islands. And so,
right.
You know, Al Jackson, who was formerly with WLIB Radio, mm-hmm. suggested that I talk to Ambassador Lionel Hirsch.
Right.
So we're waiting for him to call. And if he calls, fine, it's still okay, and we will have him on another time. Another thing, Eric, you know, I know you have some information that we're going to be talking about. I want to tell you that Mal had called. I'm always in touch with Mal.
Mm-hmm.
Mal Wolfolk. I remember we were talking about the veterans' jobs at the airport and for different careers. He got a lot of calls. The Global Trade and Technology Center got a lot of calls, and they are, you know, a lot of people are following up on this. So
why don't you remind? And if you're watching this on Ustream and you see me looking down, I'm trying to text my cousin to call in and to text some people to call in. Also, too.
Your cousin is who?
My cousin is Congressman Donald Payne Jr., and he often, as you know, if you've been listening to the last couple of shows, gives us some updates about what's going on in the fight that they're fighting in Congress. Just a really quick thing about that.
Yeah.
It came out in the news today that Senator Pat Toomey, one of the sponsors of the gun control bill, the bill to get background checks, along with Senator Manchin from West Virginia, Toomey is a Republican out of Pennsylvania, and he came out saying in the news today that they couldn't get it done because a lot of his members, a lot of the members in his party, Republicans, just didn't want to give the president a victory, didn't want to do anything to help President Barack Obama. And 90% of the people in the country want background checks, but here it is, one of their own members admitting that they just don't want to give Barack Obama a victory or help him out. And they think it's going to be helping him. It's helping the American public. So when you hear these shows talking about Congress, they're not doing anything in the Senate, that's a generalization. That's pretty broad. So let's target it. It's a lot of the Republicans, not all, because Toomey is a Republican. He was doing the right thing, and there are other Republicans, too.
And he wants background checks.
And he wants background checks. He sees the logic, and that it makes sense to do that. So when you hear these people, or don't be one of those ones to just say they're not, throw the baby out with the bathwater. Target the individuals that aren't doing it. And you can go to their websites, and you can find out who voted which way. You can go to probably the congressman or the senator's website, or you can Google their name, and you can get their website. You can find out how they voted. So don't fall into that trap when they talk about Congress is not doing anything, the Senate's not doing anything. There are certain individuals that are blocking that, and those individuals need to be targeted. Pardon the pun. Don't pardon the pun. The pun is intentional. Those individuals need to be targeted to be voted out of office if they're not voting the way that you want to vote, the way that 90% of the people want to vote. So let's not talk about the whole Congress, because there are plenty of people in there that are trying to do the right thing. and Republican and Democrat, and even a few independents. There's only a few in there. So target the ones who aren't doing the right thing. And so I just wanted
one
to
of the right
out.
Things is gun control.
At least background checks.
Yeah,
at the very
background
least.
Checks. Background checks. And some of them don't even want that. But you know what, Eric, there's another thing going on here in New York that, you know, we're very interested in, and especially having taught school. You know, there's a new thing. What's going to be happening is that according to Dennis Walcott, who is the school's chancellor over here, they're going to be adding 2 hours to the school day, you know, who are here in New York City. They are doing intense training, intense education, which is absolutely great. So, you know, congratulations to Manhattan.
Well, go ahead.
Yeah. And, you know, what they're going to be doing is they are, it's by private funding
right.
that they are extending this because they've got to pay their teachers, they've got to pay, you know, everybody involved with the school system. So it's really great. I don't know how many schools this is being done with, but they are targeting middle
right.
school students.
And on that point, I understand from what the story I saw, my understanding is that it's a pilot program.
That's right.
And they're going to try to do it in a certain smaller number of schools first and
yeah.
see how it works. And it's an additional 2 hours a day. Focusing on with math and
math,
reading.
Mainly reading, literacy.
It's a good thing because
they should have,
you know,
done it a long time ago.
I mean, in the world, American children are kind of way down on the list in terms of their skills in mathematics and science. So we need to focus on education, and part of the unfortunate sequester situation
yeah.
is affecting programs like Head Start, other educational programs, Meals on Wheels. I mean, this kind of veers
yeah.
off the subject.
That's part of it.
These are things that are being
yeah.
affected. And these guys, you know, when it came time for, they talk about it, but when it came time for people complaining and business class people complaining about their flights and stuff like that, that passed really quickly.
Yeah.
But the things that affect the most unfortunate and the most needy of our society, the people who are going to least afford things to go wrong for them or to have the rug pulled out from underneath them, there seems not to be an urgent attempt to try and help these people. And,
right.
and, you know, they're not the powerful, they're not the money, they're not the connected, they're the average everyday American citizen, and they shouldn't be forgotten.
Absolutely. And along with this whole, you know, focus on education, you know, on the longer school days are stretched out. Now, this is not only involves students, but it also involves teachers who need help. You know, I was talking about that there are some teachers who need help in various areas. And the middle school initiative, this is a big thing here. It's going to be focusing on literacy and reading, and the focus is really intense. And as I said earlier, Eric, it is funded and paid for by private foundations. And the other thing is that the schools themselves can decide how to develop this program,
mm-hmm.
you know, what to do. Because when teachers get together, when educators get together, when the you know, the principals and the superintendents get together, they come out with some really good, intense things.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they have the money to do it, because some teachers will object to 2 more hours, you know, let me get paid for it. They work hard anyway.
That's
majority
true.
Of them do. There's a couple of teachers. Some teachers I have difficulty with. And
well, there's always a few bad
yeah,
apples in the
yeah.
bunch. Hey, you guys, you know, if you go to Ustream, what's the website? Ustream.tv. You could see us streaming live on Ustream if you want to check us out while we're talking about all this stuff here. Also, we need you to tweet us, to like us on Facebook, to give us some comments.
Right.
And you can see the archive show. And we want you to also go to GoPro Radio and click watch.
Yay!
Also, too, don't forget about the CD for the show. Today's show is sponsored by On the Move Sounds, inspired by Mumia Abu-Jamal.
Jamal, yeah, he's
and you can get
unfortunately
the,
still in,
yeah,
in jail.
You can get the CD, like I said, at bwmovingimages.com. Also, you can go to donate to GoPro Radio at goproradio.com directly on the site and click the donate button
yeah.
if you want to support the fastest growing network in the galaxy.
Absolutely, absolutely.
Near to Mars.
And as a matter of fact, people can call, and we are waiting to hear from Ambassador Lionel Hirsch from Antigua. You know, there's a funny story that
is
out.
We got a phone call. This is Congressman. This is my cousin.
Okay.
Go ahead. What's up, Congressman?
Hi, Congressman.
Good evening. How is everyone?
Well, we're
how
fine.
Doing?
How are you, Donald?
Doing well, thank you.
What's new in the on the Hill?
Well, actually, this is a what we call a district work week, so we are not in session. We are all in our district meeting with constituents, having meetings, briefings, and the like, going to different events. So it's an opportunity for us to spend a solid week in the district and meet with our constituents and see what's going on in the district.
Mm. And you're really doing that by coming on Kate Johnson Live because this is part of your district.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So what type of things, you know, so just so people know, because, you know, the average person doesn't really have a clear idea what you do when you're in a district. What does that entail?
Well, it entails quite a bit of meeting with constituents, and what I'm trying to do at this point is pull my schedule up so I can give you an idea of what I have to look forward to on a day-by-day basis.
Which is busy.
Yeah.
Busy. I spent some time with them in D.C., and there's literally something on the schedule every single hour, not to mention going to vote because the bell rings. They got to run across the street, go vote, come back, meet with constituents, have committee meetings. So a lot of people that think that these folks aren't earning their money, they are.
They really are.
And they're working on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some people do get wealthy taking advantage of opportunities that come their way. But a lot of the people that are doing the right thing, they live right there in your community, lived there for years. I always talk about you guys live on the same streets ever since we were little, as I can remember. So
over 50 years on the same street.
We're both over 50.
And, watch it, Eric.
For a long time.
Watch it, Chop.
You know, we used to play
when I'm being politically correct, I say three generations of pains on that street. So.
Exactly. Wow. That's right.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea of what my day constitutes, tomorrow I have a breakfast meeting with some clergy in the area, and then at 10 o'clock, Planned Parenthood is having a function. Also at that time, there is a meeting with the NEA, and then at 11:30, I'm meeting with the juvenile diabetes research people. Well, actually, look at that. At noon, I don't have anything. Wow.
Wow.
And then at 1 o'clock, I'm meeting with New Jersey Council of Humanities. At 3 p.m., I have a nonprofit coming in that I work with, Satori Group. My son has a track meet at 4 o'clock, and then at 4:30, I have some business owners from New Jersey. At 5:30, I have the Business Hall of Fame. At 6 p.m., there is a political function in Elizabeth. At 6:30 p.m., there is the UNCF Masquerade Ball. At 7 o'clock, I have a walkthrough of the FedEx hub at North Airport, and that kind of constitutes my day.
Right.
Wow.
Now, and also,
so it starts at 9, and this looks like it'll go beyond 10 p.m. tomorrow.
Right, so that's over a 12-hour day, not to mention trying to get in there and go to an event for your children. Because a lot of people don't know that that's kind of a somewhat of a sacrifice that a lot of representatives make, of missing out, especially if you have kids, you know, your kids are around high school age, especially if you have children that are at that age, you kind of have to negotiate that. So, and also the fact that people talk to you wherever you are, you know, you go shopping in the supermarket, someone might recognize you and come up with you and say, I'd like to talk to you about this issue, Congressman. So, we know that firsthand. I mean, Mom, you know.
Yeah.
I know that with Don. You know, I'm not used to calling him Don, but I'm not going to say the nickname because then other people feel that they're.
He won't mind, would you?
No, we don't want to. but cat's out the bag now. But, you know, we've grown up with that being a part of our family life, you know. And It comes with the territory. It's not something that...
But I want to ask, Donald, where are you tomorrow? Are you in Jersey? Are you on this side of the...
I am in Jersey, yes.
Okay.
I will be here until Monday when we go back. We have votes at 6 p.m. on Monday night.
Wow.
So I will be in the district until then.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. You know, that's quite a schedule. That is difficult.
Mm-hmm.
That is difficult. Especially a young family.
That's just tomorrow.
That's just tomorrow. What about the next day? Thursday. What about Friday?
And there are a myriad of the same type of functions going on. And it's just a good opportunity for people that, normally can't touch me Monday through Thursday, that when these weeks come up, they do and we do seize the opportunity to get as much done as possible.
You know, we'd like to have you in here to the studio, so we can have people call and actually, talk to you about the different things that they may want to address with you, bring up to you. So,
that would be great.
Next time you have a recess for a week, maybe we could work that out and put that in your schedule and let your constituents know that they can call in with questions, and we can let people know when that's going to happen.
Yeah.
What I noticed, we're going to have to go for a break, right now? We got a break now?
Yeah.
All right, we got to go for a break.
Yeah.
Hold on for a second there.
We will be right back. Stay with us, everyone.
By the GoPro Radio Network, the fastest growing network in the galaxy. GoPro Radio Network, listen to the voices in your head.
You want to know the truth, folks? Do you really want to know the truth? Well, perhaps you can't handle the truth. But if you can, you can listen to GoPro Radio. Tune in at www.goproradio.com. Now, have I made myself clear?
GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. I know I do.
I'm going to give out the number.
Okay, we're back, and you're going to give out the call-in number. Yeah, that would be good. That makes sense, right? We should have given out the call-in number. If people want to call in, and now, since we have the congressman on the line, maybe you can ask him a question or two.
Let me give you the number real fast, the number for you to call in, everyone, to talk to Congressman Donald Payne, Jr. The number is 323-679-0906. Once again, that number is 323-679-0906. Talk to Congressman Donald Payne. Here's your opportunity. Congressman, are you still there?
Yes.
All right. Well, while we're working for calls, what's one of the major things that you are working on that you're really concerned more about than any other? Although, one thing I wish you did introduce, or not introduce, but, elaborate on the background checks for gun control. What's going on with that?
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't be with you last week to discuss that. We in the Congress and hundreds of millions of people around the country had expressed a desire to accept universal background checks. And, the argument for it is, this would prohibit criminals and for the most part, mentally handicapped people from being able to acquire guns. And, the right wing's argument was, criminals don't get their guns have background checks anyway because they can't get them. Well, that's true, but we want to eliminate the prospect of them, if by any loophole or anything, being able to get them. But I think this specifically addresses the issues around the mentally ill.
Yeah.
Being mentally ill is not a crime, but in situations, the instability of an individual can manifest itself in violent ways. You know, as we've seen in Aurora and at the temple, Wisconsin, and disturbing, and they all are horrific. Any crime of that nature is horrific. But here you have members of Congress and senators in the United States Senate, and you have a clear example. One of your colleagues, your former colleagues, at an event, like I'm talking about, in front of a Walgreens drugstore meeting her constituents, was shot and has been damaged for life. Thank God she didn't lose her life, but she's still learning to compose sentences and speak again as she did so eloquently at one time. This is the type of thing that we need to stop.
Yeah.
For these men to have that example of someone they worked with succumb to that and still not think that it is important, I was ashamed to be a member of the Congress that day.
Right. You know, we have and it was a shameful thing that they did, particularly what happened with one of their own. We have a caller on the line. Caller, go ahead. Welcome to the Kate Thompson Live Show.
Hello?
Yes, you're on.
Hi. First, I just wanted to say that I think this is a really fantastic program, and I think that Congressman Donald Payne Jr. is doing an amazing job. I'm a business owner here in Jersey City, and I just had a question in terms of who the congressman was supporting for mayor of Jersey City and why.
Let's see. I really wasn't prepared to get involved in politics in terms of that type of support. I think that's for another time. But in terms of your small business, what type of business are you in?
In multimedia. And I only ask not to, you know.
And Cole, let me just ask you if you state your name first.
My name is Louise Johnson.
Okay.
And I'm in multimedia, and I just ask because, you know, you've got quite the reputation for supporting communities, you know, and I just wondered if hopefully some of that support would be able to trickle down to the Jersey City area. And
absolutely. You know, I will, you know, in your capacity on the federal level, it is sometimes difficult to get involved in these local issues in terms of who the next mayor will be. I have the same issue in East Orange and the same issue in Newark and throughout the district. But, you know, when the time comes and we assess it, we have we were supported last time during my campaign by Stephen Fulop, who I believe is one of the front leaders for the mayorship in Jersey City. And I've worked well with Mayor Jeremiah Healy in the past. And I also know Jerry Walker. So, you know, it's sometimes better to stay out of those squabbles. But,
sure.
You know, when the time comes, you know, we will make a decision and we will, you know, let that be known. But, you know, right now in this atmosphere, I really want to talk about the work that I'm doing in Congress and how I can help small businesses like you. One of my committee assignments is small business, and I took an interest in that because, you know, of the likes of constituents such as yourself who are entrepreneurs and are looking to, you know, further their businesses and have them grow. So I thought it was very important, based on my district, to get on that committee. I'm also on the KID committee for Homeland Security. But I thought small business was important because at the city of Newark as a councilman, that was one of my major focuses, job creation and supporting minority and small women and WBE businesses. So I wanted to continue that on the federal level to see what I could do in terms of, enhancing what we have here in the 10th Congressional District. And we will be holding small business forums, bringing in the SBA, and having those type of forums to let small business owners know what is available to them from the federal government.
Also,
I just like to say, I'll let you guys continue the show, that I think it's spoken like a true statesman, and, you know, just another affirmation of just why, you know, your constituents needed to support you. Mm-hmm. I think that you bring class and grace and true commitment to the community back to Washington, and that's what we need. And I'm looking forward to being, you know, your constituent for the next term. And I think you're doing an amazing and fantastic job. So thank you very much.
Thank you for
calling. Well, Ms. Johnson, you just made my night, and I want to thank you. And that's the reason I do it. But I had a great teacher, and I'm just following what I was taught and how to conduct myself in that manner. But thank you for that. That was very kind of you.
Yeah.
Thank you all. Great job. Have a great night.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listen, Congressman, there is something I would like to, you know, touch on real fast. And that is this, the summer months are coming, Patrick Goddess, and there's going to be a series of events that are very important to a number of different communities. And I'm talking about the Caribbean festivals, the marching, you know, the parades, the festival, the carnival. And we were waiting to talk to the former ambassador, Ambassador Lionel Hurst from Antigua.
Mm-hmm.
And we were going to be talking about that. But, you know, we've been in touch with some people around City Hall here in Jersey City, and we want to find out when that event is going to be happening, because it's going to be happening in Newark, it's going to be happening in Brooklyn with the big event, and that's going to attract thousands of people.
And of course you have a large constituency that are people from the Caribbean.
That's right.
As well.
Absolutely. Yeah, on that note, if I could talk about the comprehensive immigration bill that is before us in the Congress, which will have some impact on the population and the community that you just mentioned. There is, we've heard all the talk around pathway to citizenship for the 11 million undocumented workers in this country and family reunification, which I support wholeheartedly. But what we have found is there is also a component of immigration called diversity visas. Now, these are the visas that allow basically people of color, whether it be from Africa or the Caribbean, to come to this country. What we have found in the Senate bill, which will be the first to come and then the House will receive it, is that diversity visas have been totally wiped out, that they won't exist in this new immigration law. Let me state this clearly for your listeners. Any legislation that changes the way or the number of people that are allowed to come to this country by way of those visas, I will not vote for.
Mm-hmm.
Say that again. Say that again, please, Congressman.
Any legislation that comes before us that removes diversity visas or pathway for Africans from the continent or Caribbeans to come to this country, I will not vote for.
You're here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I support comprehensive immigration. I support the movement for those 11 million undocumented workers. I think it's the right thing to do. They're part of this country.
Yes.
They help and they feed this economy. They do the jobs that people do not want to do in this nation.
Mm-hmm.
So they should have a pathway to citizenship. But we're not going to wipe out the only way that people of color who from Africa and the diaspora can come to this country legally, I do not accept that. And I've let the leadership know that. And there is a growing movement in the Congressional Black Caucus that have heard me and that agree. And they will be less 43 votes to pass that immigration bill without the Congressional Black Caucus.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, to a member, I think we will hold hard and fast on that.
Wonderful. Mm-hmm. Wonderful.
Yeah, that's good. We're going to have to go for a break in about 2 minutes, Congressman. But I was just getting ready to ask you about immigration as it affects black and brown people, black and brown people, people from those areas. Because, you know, we're looking at this particular situation with the Boston situation where people have come from a certain area of the world. And I mean, look what we see what happened with the terrible, horrific
bombing.
The horrific, I'm talking about the Boston bombing and, right. and a very horrific outcome. And I was just wondering that very question, you know, how immigration stands between, because, you know, one reporter on a network, on a network happened to have some wrong information. And he said initially, early on in that, when that situation was happening, that a couple of them might have been two dark-skinned men. And so there was no reason at that time to say that, except for the fact, you know, the image that it brings up once again. And we got to go for a break real quick. I want to respond so we can continue that conversation on immigration and how it affects diversity of people.
And we will be right back, everyone. Stay with us, please. Come on.
Also, we want you not to forget that today's show is sponsored by, the sounds are sponsored by the Mumia Abu Jamal CD, On the Move. And these are sounds sponsored by that. We want you to get the CD at bwmovingimages.com. And you can also donate to GoPro Radio at goproradio.com directly on that site and click on the donate button to support the fastest growing network in the galaxy. And we'll
hey, GoProto, if you're in the New York, New Jersey, Connecticut, a.k.a. Tri-State area, you're in the perfect spot to join a fast-growing community of energetic, political, creative, and eco-conscious activists focused on real climate change and environmental awareness. Now it's time to bring the fight to the airwaves. So we're calling all musicians, students, professionals, and earth lovers to get down with Eco-Socialist Horizons on the GoPro Radio Network and help tackle the greatest challenge humanity has ever faced. If you're interested in getting involved, and there are many ways that you can, both on and off the air, email us at ecohorizon@goproradio.com. That's Eco-Socialist Horizons with Joel Cavell and Quincy Saul only on the GoPro Radio Network. Listen to the voices in your head. www.goproradio.com.
Yes, we are. Salad. We are back, and we're talking about what, Eric and Donald Payne Jr.?
We're talking about the immigration, and you know, I put to you, Thomas, about the you mentioned the diversity visas, and they're trying to cut that out. But ironically, the bombers didn't look like people from those parts of the world. They weren't too dark-skinned men. They were quite light, as a matter of fact. Seemed to be from a different part of the world. So it's just interesting to me, the image that is perpetuated. And come to find out, the people who did the damage, and now they're finding that they might have had three accomplices or three friends of the people who tried to conceal some of the stuff. And a couple of them looked like these guys as well. And I don't know if you want to comment on that or not. This is me talking. So it's just, I found it an interesting kind of sidebar note that, you know, these guys is looking one way, they look another way. It's kind of perpetuation of kind of certain negative images about people of color, I think.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, well, based on what we've gone through over the past, the tenure of the president that we find in office now, we know it's alive and well. So, I mean, there's no reason to mince words,
right?
You know, but the one thing I would caution, and where I think the issue lies is, and I know, you know, we need to get to the bottom of it, and the more, you know, our federal authorities, the FBI, and people involved in that type of investigation dig, that they will, you know, they will get to the bottom of it.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was a, I think it was an incredible demonstration of the intergovernmental workings and operations from municipal to federal, that these people were able to perpetrate something, the first terrorist attack on this country since 9/11 that was successful, and there have probably been thousands of attempts, but this was the first one that was successful. Now we need that's one too many,
right?
But in the scheme of things, that is not a bad record,
right?
For the family that lost loved ones, I know it's one too many. So I don't want to minimize,
absolutely,
you know, how horrific a situation that is. That the image of that poor little boy when they show his picture of who he was,
yeah,
you know, wrenches my heart.
Mm-hmm.
But on the flip side of that, to have had that situation happen on a Monday and to have apprehended the suspects by Friday,
amazing,
I think is exceptional and incredible work.
Absolutely.
And we need to realize that there, you know, described it as looking for ants. You're looking for ants. There were tens of thousands of people at that event. So to sift through all of those pictures and video and how people moved and how they looked suspicious, and it was absolutely incredible.
Right. That's
And I think where the ball was dropped, if anywhere, what happened is, you know, these young men had become naturalized American citizens. So they were endowed with all the rights that the rest of us had. So
right.
Which probably eased the scrutiny of them,
right,
because they were now American citizens. So I think that's where the problem lie. You know, once they were American citizens, you know, the authorities took
what
a breath, and they weren't necessarily, you know, people of interest anymore.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, this was my reaction today in finding at least three other individuals, and maybe this is the reaction of a lot of Americans, that, you know, maybe we should shut it down for a minute. No more people could come in to live in the United States, you know? And, you know, thank
what
you.
Is that going to be
the
doing
door
to
is closed.
To the immigration?
No more. Well, I mean, I'm quite sure that I'm not the only one, and
yeah,
there's probably some people, different types of folks that have a lot more extreme perspectives about that. But it's all, you know, it kind of makes you want to close the doors. If everybody that's coming, if you can't trust anybody anymore, you can't physically identify people that are going to be terrorists, because people that have that in their heart really have no particular type of a physical. I mean, you could say they're from a region of the world or this or that, and there's a lot of other details that go into that reasoning, but you really can't. And when you think about it and become a little bit more evolved about it, it's really a battle of the hearts and the minds.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. And I'm wondering what you, Don, think about that along those lines. I mean, that's kind of a reactionary thing, but obviously.
Well, yeah, but, you know, one thing, maybe it takes reactionary things to, you know, sort of put a stop to this, although I don't think that it would probably ever be stopped because of the feelings that some people have outside of the United States. So there's always going to be terrorists, and then we're always going to have to be dealing with them,
mm-hmm,
and we have to really get the Congress involved in seeing the proper way to go about this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to go to a different subject right now, Congressman Donald Payne, if you don't mind. I want to lift this a little bit. because these are the things that really we are looking at. We're very concerned about, you know, immigration. We're concerned about the bombing episodes, and they're not going to stop. They're going to be more. We just have to come out with new ways to deal with it.
Hopefully there won't be more. So let's state positive things and say
yes. Okay. Well, there's a positive thing that I'm going to be talking about right now.
All right.
And that is sports, and that is Jason Collins. And thank goodness for him, because of the fact that this young man has declared what he feels in his heart. He is gay. And I congratulate him for coming out with it, because of the fact that, just think of the little kids who are feeling, who have certain feelings about their bodies, and they now probably feel very good about it. They're not different.
Mm-hmm.
And because when they go to school and they're picked on and they're talked about, and you know, it's really a very difficult thing for, you know, young men to deal with. So, and then this hero really comes out with this, and he's just talking about who he is. What do you two think about that?
You go ahead first, because
I think it is a milestone.
Yeah.
In this country's history, we know the country has slowly been coming to terms with the honesty and having the honest conversation, and you know, everyone in their family have members that you know, are gay. It's just a matter of the situation that individual finds himself in, whether they feel comfortable or in a family environment where they can express it openly, or where they feel they have to keep it to themselves. You know, obviously, I've heard Mr. Collins say that, you know, his parents didn't know, his twin brother didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
And he just said that, but that any time that he told someone that he was close to and felt he could confide in, he said he slept a little easier.
Right.
So now I guess he can have a full night's rest in knowing that he has stepped up to the plate in an incredible way.
Mm-hmm.
And demonstrated that it is all right to be who you are.
Yes.
Right.
And I just really commend him for his courage.
Yeah.
And his bravery. Right. I mean, you know, it's not like, I mean, in, you know, in terms of his work situation, you know, he's in between teams. So to do that, it's not like he even has a contract where if he comes out and states this, that, you know, well, I'm guaranteed to work another 2 years anyway, so it's not going to impact my livelihood. He's at the end of his career. You know, he's a year-to-year journeyman. You know, he might not even get picked up in the beginning of the year because of his skill level, but if someone needs his services and gets hurt, you know, if, say, God forbid, a member of another team gets hurt, well, then, you know, teams search out, well, who's available, and, you know, he could be called. So to be in that situation where, you know, you're not guaranteed to work next year, and to have the bravery to come out, where we hope this doesn't impact his ability to work,
mm-hmm.
but to not know that and still do that, I says a great deal about this young man.
That's right. It takes a lot of strength.
Right. I think that, you know, he's a man, you know, and for years there's always been attempts to depict gay people, particularly men, in a certain way, you know, their sexual preference, and to say that they were effeminate or whatever, and that was a way to see how black men are represented in Hollywood, to always, if you had one black character, usually he was going to be gay and he was going to be effeminate. Well, Jason Collins breaks the stereotype of a gay man, you know? I mean, because he's nothing effeminate about him. He's 7 foot, first off, but there's nothing that you could depict and look at him and say he's a gay individual. And I think that's a good thing. And I also, too, you know, people who have problems, and we're going to go on a break in a couple of minutes, people who have problems with gay people, you know, should check themselves, because here's the thing. If you don't understand something, it's not right for you. I don't understand being gay. I'm a heterosexual guy. I don't understand it, but it's not right for me. you know, but that doesn't make it that I'm going to impede on their right to be who they are. Mm-hmm. If the bottom line, I recently worked a job where there's a guy or a woman now, a guy trying to be transgender and making the change. And I'll be honest, I thought he looked crazy dressing up in dresses and things like that and in his change trying to get that. But the bottom line for me was I will fight for his right to do whatever he has to do to feel comfortable with himself. Because when you grow up as a minority in this country, you're made to feel uncomfortable in yourself, and you're made to feel that you're sometimes less than. So I don't want anybody to have to feel that way. So if whatever that person needs to do to make themselves feel comfortable, I certainly don't want any children to grow up feeling uncomfortable. So when people come out and they stand up and say, this is who I am, and they got on whatever they have on, or they, to the other extreme, they're not as flamboyant, I say right on, because if that makes you feel better for who you are and you're able to survive in this world and you don't have to battle within yourself, then that's good for them.
And
just because it's not right for you, we've got to go for a break from it. I want to finish this point, though. Just because it's not right for you doesn't mean that you impede someone else's ability or right to express themselves if they're not hurting you, if it's not affecting you. So we got to go for a break for a minute. We do want you to remember about getting this CD for Moving Image. Move. These are sounds inspired by Mumia Abu-Jamal. And you can donate to GoPro Radio at GoProRadio.com. Say you heard it on the Kate Thompson Live Show when you donate that. I just wanted to throw that in. And directly on the site, you can click on the donate button to support the fastest growing galaxy in the fastest growing network in the galaxy. But we're going to have our network is going to be so big, we're going to have our own galaxy in a minute. All right, we'll be right back.
We'll be back.
May 3rd from 7 to 9, you'll want to be at the Domenica Center for Classical Music at West 37th Street, where you can be a part of the book release party for Maroon the Implacable, the collected writings of Russell Maroon Schultz. It's been called a high document of true freedom for the masses by Chuck D of Public Enemy. For $20, you can purchase this groundbreaking book and catch performances by the award-winning Gary Bartz, acclaimed hip-hop activist Rebel Diaz, Harvard Law professor Sophia Elijah, and a host of others. It'll be hosted by our very own Ayanna Jones from the GoPro Radio Network and longtime anti-imperialist activist Matt Meyer. Who is Russell Maroon Schultz? Russell Maroon Schultz is a political prisoner, former member of the Black Panther Party, who has spent more than half of his life behind bars and 22 consecutive years in solitary confinement. And he still wrote one of the baddest books on the planet. I'll see you on May 3rd at the Domena Center for Classical Music from 7 to 9 p.m. This is Benjamin Barson, Eco-Socialist Horizons, and the campaign to free Russell Maroon Schultz.
And welcome back to Kate Thompson Live. My name is Eric Payne, here with my mom, Kate Thompson.
Boo, I'm here.
And Congressman Don Payne. You still on the line there, Congressman?
I am.
Okay, also we want to talk about really quickly the establishment of the Global Foundation in honor of your father, Donald M. Payne Sr. Global Foundation. And this is a foundation that's been established to sustain his legacy of global humanitarianism, excuse my mispronouncing that word, and together with partners by addressing health and education disparities, and it's going to be promoting peace and youth development and uplifting the human condition worldwide. And many people know that your father, you know, my uncle, he served the 10th District for 23 years. He was really a servant to the world. And through his work with the World Alliance of YMCAs, the United States Congress, the United Nations, and around the world, he was really one of the leading figures of our nation in addressing issues of conflict, health, and human development, one of the driving forces in getting aid money to for AIDS in Africa under the Bush administration. So that has been established. It has a number of members on the exploratory committee. You are one of them, as well as my father, former Assemblyman William Payne, Ray Chambers, United Nations Secretary General, Special Envoy for the financing.
There are a lot of people on that list.
And the Health Millennial Development Goals for malaria. So there's a number of people on that. So We'll be letting people know more about that, the foundation, and how they could be a part and support that work that the Congressman's father, my uncle, was doing for so many years. You know, just you can tell when you're doing a good job when you see people on the street and they stop you in the street. You know, and a lot of times we know this, JR, how you know people would stop your father, and obviously we grew up with all of that. Last time. We went to a football game, went to the Giants, and we're, you know, we're going to the seats. And one of the people that worked at Giants Stadium stopped him and said, "Hey, that's my congressman." He talked to your father for a while, you know, and your father being the person that he was, of course, speak to everybody. Mm-hmm. And we just had that experience when I came down to visit you. One of the Capitol Hill police officers was showing us where to go. You had to go to a function, and he asked you if you were related to your father, and you told him, you know, it's my father. And this police officer, he, a white gentleman, had been there since 1987 and just spoke really glowingly about Uncle Don. So it's good to know, you know, we have a legacy. You have a legacy to live up to, of course. And but, the, you know, the apple doesn't fall too far from the tree. And I was quite proud being down there seeing you do what you do. So I just wanted to say that.
Yeah, that's good. That's so true. Also, I'd like to go ahead, Donald.
Oh no, I just yeah, I'd like to you know, I appreciate that coming from Eric, and yeah, the Global Foundation is something that we felt was important. It was a brainchild of Reverend Keith Wright, who has known the Elder Paines since the mid '70s, and one time when your father was in business, he was a computer specialist at one of the companies that we're attempting to get business from. Subsequently, he moved on to Washington, D.C., and has been involved with the Congressional Black Caucus Foundation, which my late father was the chairman of. And had worked with the CBC and my father for many years. So it was his brainchild to see what we could do in continuing the legacy and not letting it die, you know, a slow death, and make sure that the things that were important to the congressman remained important. So his legacy and things that he worked so diligently for over three or four decades continued. I thought that the global humanitarianism, which was the part of, I think, one of my only contributions, but I felt it encapsulized my father in two words. And wherever he saw suffering, wherever he saw injustice, wherever he felt that people were not being treated fairly, he felt an obligation to step in, mm-hmm. whether it be on the entire continent of Africa, in Ireland, with the situation between the British and the Northern Irish, or in Greece and their issues, wherever he found himself. And was so interested in people all over the world, mm-hmm. He felt an obligation to step in. And so that's the thing that I'm proudest of. And,
right.
you know, it's been such a journey this last year, you know, in retrospect, looking back and understanding the magnitude. You know, when sometimes when you're walking along with the person and they're not pounding their chest about everything they do, you can miss the magnitude, but I always understood the good that he was doing.
Mm-hmm.
But in his passing, I understand the magnitude of what
right.
he was doing.
Right, exactly.
And, you know, when you can have, and I'll end with this, but this really encapsulates it for me. When you can have a president of a nation, the president of the South Sudan, a new country,
mm-hmm.
send you a letter on the passing of your father, extending his condolences from he and his country, and says that, and ends it, if your father if your father had not been involved with this, my country would not exist.
There you go.
Okay.
There you go.
Thank you.
A great way to end the show.
Right.
I just want to let people know before we, you know, I know we got a minute or two before we end, but we want to let people know that you could listen to the Kay Thompson Live Show on the GoPro Radio Network.
Mm-hmm.
You can also listen to old shows. The show is archived, so you can go back and listen to shows that you might have missed.
Mm-hmm.
And when you do that, we want you to remember that every Wednesday at 8 o'clock, you can go to GoPro Radio Network and listen to us. See the show live on the Ustream network on Ustream, www.gopro.com, right?
Yeah.
And also, I
want to say something.
I'm sorry.
Before you end.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
You know, also I wanted to get into a little bit about what we're going to be doing with the Amistad legislation in Jersey,
mm-hmm.
and that was also a part of the Payne, legacy here. And we want to be talking about that. We're going to be talking about that in different shows. And we're also going to be talking to Sunny Sutherland about foster care.
Right.
And we are also going to be continuing talking about the veterans jobs that came under Mal Wolfox, the Global Trade and Technology Center, with people, you know, really calling about it. So that's important, too. We're going to embrace the veterans and a whole lot of other things, including education.
Mm-hmm.
We're also going to be talking to a number of our Caribbean friends. Because of the big carnival, the festivals that are going on, we need festivals about this time anyway. Now, you were saying, Eric?
No, I just want to let people know to listen to us, and we're going to be on our way out of here. Thanks, Congressman Payne. Thanks for having me as your co-host, Ma.
Thank you.
You know, you don't have to flag me down. You could just speak into the mic. I'll hear you and just interrupt like you always do at home. What's the difference? Peace.
See you later.
Yeah, what's new?
Right.
They're gagging up on me, everyone. Kate Thompson Live. Make sure
bye,
you see
y'all.
Wednesday. Thanks, Eric. Thanks, Donald.